Hi everyone, thanks for dropping by. It's Michael Kerr. You're listening to Humor at Work. Are you positive about your attitude? Now, look, I'm leery of some of the pseudoscience that engulfs much of the conversation around attitude and motivation, and I have little patience for some of those feel-good, simplistic, motivational platitudes that we get bombarded with these days. In fact, if anyone ever tells me to turn my frown upside down, my first reaction is to give them a wedgie. Yet there's no getting around the fact that our attitude is a key driver of success. So here are five attitudinal points to ponder that are based on some pretty solid research and that intuitively seem to make sense. Point number one, a study by Mark Murphy, the author of Hiring for Attitude, a highly recommended book, by the way, found that of 20,000 newly hired employees, 46% of them failed within 18 months. 46%! And 89% of the time they failed for attitudinal reasons. Only 11% of the time they failed due to skill or ability. Other surveys show similar results, which is why great organizations hire first and foremost for attitude. Point number two, optimists usually do, of course, perform better than pessimists. In just one of dozens of studies that I've looked at, insurance agents ranked on the high end of an optimism scale outscored their more pessimistic counterparts by 37%, while agents in the lowest 25%, in other words, the most Eeyore-like, were three times more likely to quit their jobs. Number three, according to Dr. Martin Seligman, the author of Learned Optimism, pessimism is a learned response that can be unlearned. Pessimists tend to view stressful events or obstacles as being personal. In other words, I didn't get that promotion because the boss hates me. It's all about me. Permanent. So the situation is permanent. I'll never get that promotion. And pervasive. My whole life sucks because I didn't get the promotion. So those are his three P's of pessimism. They're personal, permanent, and pervasive. But according to Dr. Seligman, pessimists can retrain their brains by counter-arguing these default positions to reach the healthier conclusion, this wasn't personal, it's only temporary, and it only impacts one part of my life. Number four, yes, there is such a thing as being too happy. I never did trust that Barney purple dinosaur, and I had good reason. As it turns out, you can be too happy. Research by Dr. Barbara Fredrickson at the University of North Carolina found that there's an optimum ratio of positive to negative thoughts, and that negative thoughts help us. They keep us grounded, and they provide us with important feedback. As Dr. Julie Norum points out in her book, The Power of Negative Thinking, do you really want a blindly optimistic brain surgeon or, say, airline pilot who hasn't fully thought through all the potential downsides? Negative thoughts serve a purpose. They can be harnessed for good, and we shouldn't beat ourselves up for having them as long as we keep them to a minimum. And the last thought, thought number five about attitude, positive affirmations, you know, the old Stewart, what was his name on Saturday Night Live? You know, I like myself, I'm blah, blah, blah. Positive affirmations in studies have been shown to help a little bit. But what works even better than posing positive affirmations is posing them as a question. Saying, can I deliver a great business presentation is better than saying, I will deliver a great presentation, according to Daniel Pink, the author of To Sell is Human. Pink suggests that questions force us to think deeper and longer. They force us to remind ourselves of times when we did deal with a stressful situation or overcame an obstacle, and reminds us of how we did that. And questions help us uncover the underlying motivations for doing something much better than declarative statements would do. Declarative. That's a mouthful. Try saying it. It's not an easy word. All right, and now my fun at work tip. Very, very simple meeting icebreaker, since as I'm doing this, it's get a different name day. So, simple icebreaker, ask everyone at your next meeting, go around the table, what name would they choose to be called if they didn't have the name they currently have? Or you could turn this into a little bit of an offbeat theme day. Have everyone wear those hello, my name tags, hello, my name is name tags, only put their choice of their preferred name on it. and see if nothing else, this will confuse the heck out of all your new employees. And the quote of the week from Albert Einstein: if at first the idea is not absurd, then there is no hope for it. And finally, in our It's a Wacky World section, a few wacky ads I stumbled upon in my files recently. Tired of cleaning yourself? Let me do it. Wanted: man to take care of cow that does not drink or smoke. Help wanted: looking for new and used salespeople. Wanted: bartenders, no experience necessary, must have ID, phone, transportation, and teeth. For articles, videos, links to all sorts of great resources, for tips, ideas to sign up for the print version of this e-zine, or to, hey, book me to come in and speak at your next event or to your company, cruise by the website www.humoratwork.com. Until next time, this has been Michael Kerr, reminding you to put humor to work for less stress and more success.